Hello and welcome to Weapons and Warfare. For Straight Arrow News, I'm your host, Ryan Robertson. Just ahead on this week's episode, we get a literal look at the Honeywell 360-degree display. The idea is to help users navigate in low visibility or dangerous situations by enhancing situational awareness, which will eliminate many of the problems of previous attempts. And in our Weapon of the Week, we'll introduce you to the Sigma, a modern self-propelled howitzer built by Elbit Systems. It's a 10-wheeled shoot-and-scoot solution that delivers a powerful punch. Built for the Israel Defense Forces, it packs a 155mm, 52-caliber mobile howitzer with all the bells and whistles. But first, some headlines you may have missed. The Pentagon's Replicator program has two new additions from some recognizable names. Deputy Secretary of Defense Kathleen Hicks announced the second tranche of weapon systems, now called Replicator 1.2, includes the Ghost X made by Anduril Industries and the C-100 from Performance Drone Works. The newest members of the Replicator initiative are aerial and maritime drones that are now part of a groundbreaking effort to fast-track the delivery of unmanned weapon systems to American warfighters. Following the announcement, the Army's Chief of Staff, General Randy George, said, "The delivery of commercially available company-level small UAS with support from the Replicator Initiative will allow American soldiers to rapidly experiment, learn, and innovate with these systems. The advancement of battlefield technology requires us to innovate faster than ever before." He's not kidding about that fast part. According to a release from the Pentagon, the Ghost X and C-100 will be fielded by August 2025 to meet the goals of the Replicator Initiative. Sticking with the holiday shopping theme, a Norwegian defense firm just inked its biggest deal ever for a missile contract. Kongsberg signed a multi-year deal for the delivery of naval strike missiles to the Navy and Fleet Marine Force over 5 years. The contract, in the neighborhood of $900 million. The NSM is the focal point of the Navy's over-the-horizon weapon system and is being installed on littoral combat ships and Constellation-class frigates, as well as supplying the Marine Corps for the Navy Marine Expeditionary Ship Interdiction System. In September, Kongsberg, citing demand for the NSM, announced it would open a facility in Virginia to help meet contractors' needs. According to Kongsberg, the subsonic NSM boasts a range of more than 115 miles and is equipped with a high-resolution imaging infrared seeker that enables autonomous target recognition. The missile's sea-skimming ability and low radar signature also enhance its chances of evading enemy air defenses. And finally, here's something you don't see every day. Russian-made Sukhoi 30s being refueled by an American tanker. Before your mind leaps too far ahead, the jets are Russian, the pilots are not. Earlier this month, aircrew from the 141st Air Refueling Wing of the Washington Air National Guard partnered with the Royal Malaysian Air Force out of Subang Air Base in Malaysia. On this particular mission, the Americans refueled three Malaysian crewed fighters as part of a partnership that started in 2017. Those involved say events like this strengthen our alliances and showcase the abilities of the United States and its partners, helping both countries work together more effectively in the Indo-Pacific region. For viewers of a certain age, the image of Buffalo Bill stalking Clarice Starling through his dimly lit basement while using night vision goggles in The Silence of the Lambs was likely a first exposure of sorts to the kind of wearable tech meant to give users the upper hand in the dark. It's been 33 years since that Academy Award winner graced the silver screen, And that kind of hardware is now commonplace in military units all over the world. At this year's AUSA gathering, I got a first-hand look at what could be the next game changer in wearable tech for American warfighters.
If you move your head back and forth, left and right, really quickly, I want you to kind of see how that feels.
While it may look like something straight from a high-tech arcade game, the Honeywell 360 display could very well be the modern warrior's best friend in low-light environments, intentionally built with the idea of eliminating the problems of previous iterations.
So the Honeywell 360 is designed to be able to operate a vehicle at a high rate of speed without any outside visual reference, meaning no windows, and do that without making you sick. And so that last part of not creating motion sickness is really where we focused a lot of our technology development. And our system, I would say, is one of the only systems that can do that for an extended period of time without making you ill.
The system's technology focuses on low latency and depth perception to simulate natural vision. Adam Gavrich, a senior technical sales manager for Honeywell, says the 360 display is vehicle, camera, and sensor agnostic, meaning it can integrate with existing cameras and mountings for standard night vision goggles.
So the idea is to be able to take a vehicle that might already have cameras and integrate with those existing cameras. So if you have a requirement for very high-end cameras, very high resolution, we can integrate with that. If you have lower resolution cameras, we can do that as well and still safely operate the vehicle using our headset technology.
The system has 26 U.S. patents for its anti-motion sickness technology. Currently in production, it is being fine-tuned for military operations.
Simulating, as I said, your natural vision and making your body feel as if it's looking with its own two eyes when it actually has no reference. In order to do that, we actually have to very accurately find the position of your head, accommodating for both unnatural motion from the vehicle as well as where you're intentionally moving your head, and then putting the image up that matches what you're feeling. And when those two things agree, you don't get sick. As soon as you start seeing something that your body is not feeling, you get sick. And that's sometimes why you might get sick in other types of vehicles, because you're getting those miscues between those senses.
Unlike most of what we saw at AUSA, I was actually able to climb into a vehicle and try the 360 myself.
It almost reminds me of the F-35, like, glass cockpit.
Similar technology.
Right? I mean, where you can, like, I'm looking behind the vehicle right now, and if I didn't have this on, I would just be seeing you and whatever's in the back of the vehicle. But I'm looking at, you know, crowds of people, which could be, I mean, if this was a combat scenario, those could be militants. They could be innocents that I'm trying not to run over as I back up.
And those are the situational awareness aspects of the system that are also very critical. So not just driving, but again, keeping the soldiers safe, keeping their mission effective, being able to see around the vehicle, really, again, without any windows and, you know, fully under their armor.
Another important piece of the equation, a concerted effort to not add any neck strain to the wearer.
We're taking weight out of our prototype, and it's going to be very light. When you put on the headset today, it's going to feel heavy, but it's all helmet because it's a military helmet. The end target system is going to be very light and also rugged to support military operations, because to your point, we can't have a heavy headset that's going to add a lot of neck strain, and that's a design consideration that we've accommodated for.
Well, not yet ready to tell us who will be the first American troops to put the 360 display to work, Gavrich did tell us Honeywell recently won several as yet unannounced contracts, but when those deals are announced, we will let you know.
Serving you clarity through context, our mission at SAN is to deliver the news straight down the middle. We're different from mainstream media because we spotlight distorted headlines and show you how to do it too. Discover stories that right and left-leaning outlets are choosing not to cover by using our Media Mist tool. Download the SAN app and turn on notifications to have straight facts delivered right to your phone or tablet, and get straight facts anytime at SAN.com.
When you think of modern warfare, it might be natural to think of the latest technology, new weapon systems, things meant to make for an unfair fight. But on closer inspection, a lot of what's built for today's warfighters are often evolutionary leaps on centuries-old ideas. Take, for instance, the howitzer, a piece of artillery that falls somewhere between a cannon and a mortar. Would it surprise you to learn the very first howitzers were developed in the 16th century? Well, hundreds of years later, Elbit Systems of America has what it thinks is the next evolutionary leap in howitzers. That's why the Sigma is our weapon of the week. Traditionally, howitzers were built to be towed into place. And for as long as they've been a part of any combat forces arsenal, they've been an effective, if not cumbersome, piece of the puzzle. But things are starting to change.
You look what's happening in Ukraine, using towed howitzers, more manned howitzers, right? You can't be survivable because of counter-battery fire. Mobile howitzers now are the future, and Sigma is our answer to the upcoming Army competition for that.
And the Sigma ain't no beta. It's a tin-wheeled piece of rolling thunder, allowing its three-man crew to stay inside while engaging the enemy. Meaning this 155mm, 52-caliber howitzer can move as the battle line moves. No towing required.
It's all one connected unit. It's based on an Oshkosh truck, right? So what the Army is already using, basically based off of a HIMIN or a PLS-type truck from the Army. We call it a MAP, Mobile Artillery Platform. The really great thing about it is it's completely, the crew stays completely inside, right? So three-man crew, they get to stay inside that cabin, and everything else is automated in the back.
The Army's current self-propelled artillery system, the M109 Paladin, first entered service in the 1960s. It was upgraded numerous times over the decades, and even though it's proven its place in American military history, the Army knows it's time for a change. Boasting a 40-round magazine, the largest in the industry, the Sigma, with its high volume of fire and extended combat range, offers the kind of change the Army is looking for.
So basically you can fight longer, you can fight further away, and you don't have to resupply nearly as often. So it's a very unique capability. Obviously it's a big system, but because of that the size, right, it allows you a massive volume of fire, which is unmatched.
Designed with the Army's Next Generation Command and Control Initiative in mind, Elbit sees the Sigma as part of a system that will give commanders the ability to act on more and better information faster.
So it'll be able to network with basically anything and everything else on the battlefield, right? I would expect to see systems like this expect to start moving towards more of an optionally manned configuration.
To be clear, this is far from the only entry in the mobile howitzer marketplace. As an example, in August, we profiled the Hawkeye mobile howitzer made by AM General. Naturally, each system has its pluses and minuses, but Taylor Mercer, Elbit America's Senior Director of Howitzer Programs, says its entry offers more of what the Army is looking for.
Sigma is very different, not just volume of fire, survivability, right? Mobility, being on a 10x10, it's absolutely, it can go anywhere on the battlefield. But most importantly, it's built on the Oshkosh truck, right? So it brings commonality. Commonality is absolutely key to keeping costs down and logistics trail down, right? So being able to have a system, an integrated system already into the U.S. now, that's already common to a platform, it just makes absolutely perfect sense, right? And it makes the Army's job much easier on how to integrate a brand new artillery system.
Will the Sigma be part of the Army's modernization efforts? Well, that remains to be seen, but it is in the mix. In October, the Army announced the awarding of 5 contracts for their self-propelled howitzer performance demonstration. Elbit is one of that group, along with entries from American Rheinmetall Vehicles, BAE Bofors, Hanwha Defense USA, and General Dynamics Land Systems. The hope is once the decision is made and the contract awarded, the Army can begin fielding the winning system by 2026. In September, we introduced you to the 2 candidates vying to become the Air Force's first collaborative combat aircraft. Both platforms recently passed a major milestone, and that's the subject of this week's comms check. The finalists, one from Anduril Industries and the other from General Atomics Aeronautical Systems, passed their critical design reviews in early November. That news coming out of the Air Power Futures Forum at the AFA's Mitchell Institute for Aerospace Studies opens the door for both companies to start detailed production efforts. Colonel Timothy Helfrich, Air Force Material Command's Senior Material Leader for the Advanced Aircraft Division, told the gathered audience both Anduril and General Atomics, both industry teammates, are on the path to first flight on a timeline that allows us to get operational capability by the end of the decade. We are on track, if not ahead, in some cases. A CCA is a drone with an onboard AI control system that can carry and deliver munitions. The goal is to produce an aircraft that is significantly lighter and at a lower cost than a human-piloted craft while offering comparable capability in mission execution. Anduril's Fury and General Atomics' CCA, based on the Gambit, were chosen from a field of 5 proposals. The Air Force plans to make a final decision between the two companies in 2026, after both complete flight testing of their designs.
All opinions expressed in this segment are solely the opinions of the contributors.
Well, folks, that just about does it for us on this episode of Weapons and Warfare. As always, we hope you liked what you saw and learned something along the way. If you did, we would appreciate your help telling others about the show, so please like and subscribe to our social media feeds and share them with your friends. This episode will publish the day before Thanksgiving, so for my wrap, I'm going to lean into the holiday theme. Looking around the world right now, it can be easy to feel a bit uneasy about the way things are going. Wars on multiple continents, political infighting bordering on the point of tribalism, a looming fear that our next great technological advancement may be our undoing. It's a lot, and if that's all I was focused on, I'd be hard-pressed to stay positive. But there's a lot of other stuff happening in the world, too. For instance, I was scrolling social media the other day and came across this bit from a comedian named Drew Dunn.
This is a good time to be alive. Like, we used to lose kids to the winter.
He's right. I mean, in the 1600s, the colony of Jamestown was almost wiped out completely in the span of one winter. So I'm thankful to comedians like Drew Dunn who helped put things into perspective, because I really am thankful I wasn't born back when we lost kids to winter. I'm also thankful for my wife and kids, sure. But I'm thankful to all the folks who made life's little marvels possible, like how I can hit a few buttons on my phone and start my car, or change the settings on my home thermostat, or even get food delivered right to my door. Certainly beats living in a cave or dying from exposure. The point is, if you only focus on what's bad in life, that's all you're going to see. Being thankful is an active exercise. And couldn't we all use a bit more exercise in our lives? For senior producer Brett Baker, video editor Brian Spencer, and graphics artist Dakota Patillo, I'm Ryan Robertson with Straight Arrow News, signing off.